Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Welcome to Activate Yourself with Geeta Sidhu-Rob, where we feature otherwise normal people who, because of events in their life, have turned left and done unusual, inspiring, incredible things, like build a business, become a happiness expert, marry a prince, create an empire, or, like your host, set up a health and wellness business, Nosh Detox. Here's your host, Geeta Sidhu-Rob.
Hi, welcome to Activate Yourself. My name is Geeta Sidhu-Rob. I am so grateful and happy that you have joined me again today. You know when you go through life just thinking you're a bit weird? I happen to think this is a bonus. Turns out that actually when you're younger, you don't think this is a friggin' bonus because you want to be like everyone else and you think being weird is horrible. And it doesn't matter that your mother tells you being weird isn't horrible. Actually, no, my mother always told me I was weird and it was horrible. But then she's Indian and nobody wanted me to be weird. Whereas I've always told my kids that being weird was great. They didn't believe me. But what I want to do is have a conversation about why we don't feel normal. You know, I always on this show have conversations with people who go through trauma and difficulty and make their lives better as a result. As I get older, I'm starting to learn that it's kind of like a spectrum of a journey we tend to go on. So that we're here today because we did this. And I'm sure you've all heard me say a million times that I friggin' hate being resilient because I don't want to bounce back. I'm not a trampoline and we should definitely not bounce on anything. And so today's guest and I started to talk and I was like, wait, let's do this on air because I wanted, well, let me introduce you first, Alicia. Welcome and thank you very much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me. Great to be here.
I was about to just head into our conversation without introducing you. So Alicia says that she offers high sensory facilitation. Now, I don't actually know what that means, but I do know she's a high sensory coach, right? And a creative empath. That one I know. Now, I was talking to one of my earlier guests. I think it was Lisa Billingham. And she said that she helped with sensory something. And I was like, what does that mean? And she said to me, which I found really interesting, which is why I wanted Alicia to come on to explore this, is she said, I really struggled to go in shops. Like she was talking about a Walmart. And I was like, oh, is this why I can't actually walk into Waitrose? I have a Waitrose down the road and they changed it. And they have a little kind of a covered walkway. I mean, I call it a tunnel. And then you enter into the main Waitrose shop. Let me tell you, as a grown-ass woman, a brave grown-ass woman who has done a lot of things, I can't walk into that shop. I start having to breathe heavily. I cannot walk into the shop. So I said to Alicia, is this normal? And Alicia said, was about to start talking. Then I stopped her. So Alicia, let's go back to that conversation. Why can't I walk into the frigging shop?
Well, I'm firstly going to say it's completely normal for HSPs. It is completely normal, and what it is it's
highly
a complete...
sensitive people.
Yes, I personally I prefer Willow McIntosh's version, which is high sensory people, and I'll introduce high sensory intelligence in a minute. The scientific term is known as sensory processing sensitivity. Dr. Elaine Aron, who's American, in the 90s was an amazing founder and pioneer for sensory processing sensitivity, but she coined the term highly sensitive people or highly sensitive person. And that just doesn't sit with me. It doesn't sit with me because sensitive sounds like a weakness, doesn't it? Oh, you're yes, so yes. Sensitive. That must
and
mean
girly.
You're weak. Yeah, exactly.
And girly in a bad way, not girly in a good way.
Exactly. But to your point, and we'll go back to the shop, but you said earlier, you said the word resilient. And this is what is so important for high sensory people to embrace and own is that we are so goddamn effing resilient. It's unreal because we've all got our own stories And for me, the traumas and the experiences I've had, somebody said to me, an empath friend said to me a couple of weeks ago, she was practically crying because she thought the things I'd gone through, she's like, I can't believe you're standing here today doing what you do. And that's the thing. I don't like the word sensitive. It's actually to do with our senses. It is sensitivity, but it's our sensory awareness that is so heightened. And what it is scientifically is our amygdala is hyperwired. So our fight, flight, and freeze is constantly active, you know, looking for traumas, or it's looking for, is this safe for me? Is this good for me? You know, things like that. We've got our insula, which is our, I believe it's the conscientious side of us. So we're very highly conscious people. So we have this ability to be so aware of everything around us. And then our mirror neurons are hyperwired. So our empathy levels are huge. So we can empathize with people. We can feel how people feel. So going back to the shop, I found out about a year ago, 18 months ago, that my local Tesco's have I can't remember the call it. I think it's quiet hour. And I think every supermarket in the UK does provide this service.
No.
Right. And it's really cheeky because they don't advertise it very well. So my Tesco has two slots a week, on a Wednesday between 9 and 10 a.m. And I think it's a Saturday between 9 and 10. Again, I cannot stand going anywhere that's public and shops on a weekend. There's too many people. There's too many children. There's way too much sensory stimulation going on. So this morning I got up, did my usual Tesco shop. The lights are dimmed, so there's less lights because our sensors are so aware of lighting.
Why would they not tell us?
You
know why? You know why? Because you probably buy less.
Exactly, because you aren't sensory overwhelmed. So the lights are dimmed. They turn the music off. There is no tannoy going off. Saying,
how did you find this out?
Do you know what? I really can't remember. It was like I happened upon it about a year ago, and I don't know how, but it just was kind of, I can't remember if I saw a tiny, tiny, tiny little poster in Tesco's as I walked out the door, or if I Googled it to think, surely shops do a quiet hour, because this is insane. They say they turn the tills off, as in they reduce the noise, but it doesn't always work like that. Because I've got to be honest, I do self-checkout because I love talking to people, but being an empath, it's too much for me. So I've only got so much energy in a day. And obviously, depending on who you're talking to, the chemistry's there or it's not.
Do you know, sorry, hold that thought.
Go for it.
Every time I hear a celebrity who says, they put out a rule saying you can't look them in the eye when you're serving them. Don't talk to them. Don't make connect. I'm like, I get that.
Yeah.
Can I not be a celebrity and have that as well?
Yeah.
100%. Oh my God. You're not understanding. I'm a highly aware person. I freaking coach for a living, right? I have never understood this. I am really, what's the word? Olfactory, clearly. I am really struggle with really high smell. Like everybody in my life doesn't wear perfume. And like that whole male cologne thing, like my ex to this day doesn't wear anything because I can't handle it anywhere near me. Like loud piano, and like people in my friggin' family play classical piano, great, but don't come near me with it. Can't handle the noise, you know. And I feel battered. There are places where I just have to go, no people, I'm done, I can't do it, I'm staying right here, and me and my jigsaw puzzle. And I used to read and hide.
So common. So quite often people that you see in books and with their headphones. So for me, when I'm walking in the countryside, I don't want any gadgets with me. I love to hear the birds. The rustling of the trees grounds me. It resets me. It connects me to Mother Earth. It connects me to the source that's bigger than us. But if I go down my beach, I've got to walk through a bit of town, and I've got to plug my ears in because I've got to go into my bubble. And again, it's certain music. I can't listen to certain music at certain times of the day, blah, 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 blah. And then I get onto the beach and I'm in my own little universe. So it's, for us, it's really common. It's really freaking normal. And it's basically, don't like to big us up, but I will. We're kind of superhuman because we are so highly switched on. And when we're not balanced, when we're not looking after our needs that are individual, we're completely unbalanced and everything is heightened. So when I'm hormonal, for example, my senses are a bit more heightened. So tastes are going to be different.
It feels like the edges of you almost become painful.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh,
absolutely.
My God.
And when you're
that thought, because we're going to go for a break. And then I also want you to tell me, because you've linked this to kind of trauma. And I want to understand that, please, when we come back.
Sure.
Going to go for a break.
Great.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
Okay, we're back. Explain to me the whole trauma thingy link. In your bio, you say, like so many HSPs, empaths, I've experienced much sadness, trauma, and stress and loss in my life. What do you mean, like so many? Is it it's because what? Tell me.
I do know what it is, but I don't know how sort of deep and broad to go with this. But it's everything that happens to you truly is of a benefit. It doesn't feel like it at the time, but it is truly, truly a benefit and a gift. And, you know, we're going through the shitstorm and it is painful and it feels like the world is ending. And because our senses are so heightened and active, it's going to feel more intense for us than it would be for, say, a non-HSP. It'll be more like sort of not necessarily water off a duck's back, because losing anybody is traumatic for anybody. But for us, it's just on a slightly different scale.
So are you saying, Alicia, that we attract in more trauma because we are more kind of sensitive and intuitive, or we attract more people that are dramatic? Because I think about that. I'm like, I've seen all these things happen in my life. Okay, I make a living out of speaking about the things that have happened in my life. But I do sometimes look at it and think, bruh, that was quite a lot of things to happen in one lifetime.
Absolutely. You know, I had a wonderful client a couple of years ago. She's in her 70s. And she said to me, Alicia, you're in your 30s. You've been through more shit than most 70-year-olds I know. And that's the thing. I believe, so I love the way that Dr. Elaine Aron puts in her book that we've often been known over the centuries as royal advisors because of our high sensory awareness, that we can get hold of data and information that non-HSPs can, or we can in quicker and on a more deep, intense sort of way. And totally lost my train of thought then.
No, but that's true, because like I used to be a lawyer and I did a lot of conflict resolution and corporate negotiating.
Yes.
I was excellent at it because I read cues really well. Like I will say to people, can you not see this is happening?
Yes. And that's the thing. I've run some businesses and I've gone into businesses and I've said to people, hang on a minute, if you do this and do this and do that, it'll that person, that's their weakness. Why are you getting them to do that job? Get them to use their strengths. And it's getting bigger and bigger. But say CEOs and people of big organizations, they're actually seeking people like us out because of this ability that we see the subtleties, we see these things. So with trauma, going back to your original question, is I believe we sign up for these things.
Yeah.
I do truly believe that at some point our soul said, right, I want that family. I want those challenges. I want those traumas because it's going to make me this kind of person so I can then help these kind of people. So I do believe that these things are happening to us for a bigger, better reason. But it does seem to be that there is a pattern that HSPs do seem to experience more trauma. It's just when you're talking to people like us, it's a very strange, oh, wow, they know what it feels like. Oh, okay. Then you talk to a non-HSP and they go blank. They're like, I've no idea what you're talking about. So there is a strange thing going on where we do seem to attract or experience trauma. I don't know which way you want to word it.
I do find it interesting because I find that I'm sitting in rooms where there's people who can make massive impact through coaching clients and through, you know, whatever reason, who have massive impact on the world around them. Either because they're a head of state or they're doing whatever. And I find that I will have been the person that can say, yeah, but what about the really poor woman who's got the three kids and can't afford to do this, this, this? Because in power, that person doesn't have a voice. In power, that person is not represented. And I think it's also that thing that we don't look like we went through that. I don't look like I've ever been poor and struggled to feed my kids.
Yeah. Right? That's the thing. And again, it's don't judge a book by its cover, isn't it? I've experienced people over the years that totally misjudge me. And I remember a couple of years ago, somebody sort of gave me the impression, again, we can pick up on people's thoughts without them realizing. It's kind of like, I know exactly what you think of me right now. Like, you almost don't need to say it. Like, I can feel the vibe. You know, I can feel the judgment. I can see it in their eyes. And it was almost like a case of, well, what do you know? You look fine. You look as if you've never had a bad day in your life. I'm like, whoa, actually, if I was to tell you some of my experiences, you'd be thinking very, very differently. And I really want to go back to your point about people in power. That's why it's really important for HSPs to stand up for ourselves, to begin to meet our needs, to thrive, because we are the sort of next generation leaders that need to come forward, because we have a place. Our voices do need to be heard. Because we're more concerned about the overall running of the world to be a better place. It's not about power in a ego controlling way. It's about freedom. It's about flow. It's about passion and love and happiness. That's what our sort of leadership is about. Like you say, with that woman, she needs our help because she just wants a good life. She doesn't want to control things. She wants a good life. And we're here to see those people and to give them a voice because they need it.
I mean, I think it's also creating a shift from a place where the world is here to support a very few to the world being here being service to everyone, right? And
definitely.
I find it funny to even say that because I've always been, well, I've always been conservative with a small c. I would like to just point that out.
Where
I've always thought that it's really important to be able to make our own, I'm an immigrant, right? Make our own money, being able to work for ourselves and all that. And it's been a gradual change when I've seen what's happened to the world to thinking, well, and having been poor, to actually saying that poverty isn't something you can help by just saying, just work harder. You know, it just isn't that. And I sort of made a commitment about 5-7 years ago to go, well, every time I meet someone who thinks that, I will stay there till you've changed your mind. You've had another viewpoint. Okay, we're going to go for a quick break. When we come back, what I'd like you to do, please, is tell us what we can do to, we've talked a little bit, I think, about identifying HSPs, but what do we then do about it to make life easier to live? Right? Because this is obviously, I'm sure, what you teach. So we're just going to go for a break and then we'll talk about that when we come back.
Excellent.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So we're back. What is it that, Alicia, we should do as HSPs to make life easier? Because I got older before I was able to say, don't make that noise, don't wear that smell. Don't. I just the overwhelm, like the oud, this perfume oud, have you heard of it? The OUD?
Yep.
Oh my God. Like one of my children, I literally go through the house throwing bottles of it out and they go, you can't do that, it costs so much. I do not give a shit. Out. Can't cope with that smell in my house because it just lingers and follows me around the whole bloody house.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, thankfully.
What can we do to make it
easier? Yeah, so there's so many things. First of all, I just want people to own and honour that they're a HSP. That's the first thing. It's the first thing to go, yeah, actually, this is me and I'm not going to change it. because that's where we go wrong, is I spent years changing myself, molding myself to suit everybody else. And I was constantly miserable, run down, and just feeling depleted. So first of all, it's a case of own your senses, like own that you have those needs. That's, for me, rule number one, own your needs. I'll talk about what I do, and that might be helpful. So here's a perfect example. Have I had a busy week? And this weekend, I'm going, do you know what? I've got nothing booked. I'm going to go tech free. So I turn my phone either on to airplane
Even
mode.
Even I got hives, babe. Even I got hives.
Yeah, it takes a while, but it becomes addictive. So my airplane, so my phone goes on airplane mode every evening when I go to bed. So about 9 o'clock, it goes on airplane mode. So this weekend, I'm so excited to go tech free this weekend, because what it will do is it will bring you back to yourself. You will experience some anxiety because the brain is so used to being stimulated all the time. And we've got to learn to calm our senses down. So I'm going for a tech-free weekend. I recommend a tech-free day, one day a week. So maybe a Sunday or Saturday.
So what do you mean? You turn off your phone, or you turn off your phone and everything? Or what else do you turn off? Just the telephone?
Pretty much, yeah. I don't go on my laptop. I don't check emails. I don't check
the
text
TV
messages.
Tech.
I would say it is.
I would,
but I would say it is. So if you can, great, avoid the TV. But if all you're going to do is do one thing, so all you're going to do is watch one movie that night, and that's it. You don't just turn the TV on and watch mindless TV. You just watch that one movie and that's it. But the important thing is to get away from your laptops, your computers, and your mobiles.
Constant reactiveness.
Yeah, absolutely. I've turned off my notifications on my phone. I've turned off the little icon numbers, locked screen. I don't know what my notifications are. So what I do is I spend certain times of the day going in and checking my emails. Right, I've got 10 minutes, I'm going to check my emails. Then I don't check for 2-3 hours, and then I'm focused on the task that I'm doing. Nature time is really important. For me, in the summer months more so, every 2 weeks-ish, I tend to go away for about 24, 48 hours and I wild camp. That's really, really good for me.
Whoa, wild camp?
Yes, wild camping.
Tent, or you go, what?
I personally, I've done the tent thing and it's magical, and I want to get back into that. I need to get a new rucksack. But what I do at the moment, and have done for a couple of years, is I'm tiny, so I sleep in the back of my Defender, which I've created a little bed, and I take my sleeping bag and I take my food and my burner, and
you
I take everything.
Scared of being in the middle of nowhere?
Absolutely. But I'm high sensation seeking, HSP. So
well,
I
what
need
does that mean?
I need
that danger.
Yeah, I need a bit of excitement. I need an adventure. Having said that, bringing that back, I did do it with someone to begin with. I was dating a guy. We slept in the back of his Range Rover, and I was like, I like this. And I did it on my own. And I'm not going to lie, I didn't sleep well. I made sure my doors were locked. Everybody knew where I was, but I was fine. I was completely on my own. And it is genuinely really, really safe. Because I'm so sensory aware, I actually feel safer and happier on my own in nature than I do walking down my high street.
Safer being alone in fucking frigging nature than in your high street.
Exactly. So bringing it back to day-to-day things for people to do, I really, really recommend slow mornings. So what that means is for the first 2 hours of my morning, so I wake up anything between sort of 5 and 6 o'clock, and for 2 hours, it's about me. So I have my cup of tea. I have my first one or two breakfasts. I might read. I'll journal. I'll think about, right, what have I got today? Is there anything I need to prep? But there's no technology for the first 2 hours of my day. And I cannot tell you how much that's transformed everything, because we've got to be really careful about what we do to activate our nervous system. So getting on straight to our mobiles within the first 2 hours of waking will just put us into basically fight, flight, and freeze mode, which is not good for us. What are the other things? Reducing, noise as much as possible. So if in the middle of the day, if I've been back to back with things, in the middle of the day, I try and have half an hour, just meditate. just everything shuts off, no noise, and I just meditate for half an hour. That brings it back, slows me down, and then it makes the afternoon so much more doable. Again, being entrepreneurs, being self-employed, that really does help. But if you're at work, you need to say to your bosses, look, I need... Do you remember, like, back in the day? I say back in the day, I know smokers still exist, but people would always go outside and have cigarette breaks. And I used to think, hang on a minute, I've been in this office.
The break without the cigarette.
Right, right. I was like, I've been in this damn office the same amount of hours as they have, but I'm not allowed to go and have a 10-minute break. Like, what the f-? You know, it really used to wind me up. So that kind of needs to be welcomed back. Not the smoking, obviously, but those miniature 10-minute breaks. So it's kind of downtime. It's just stopping those sensors having to work, basically.
Well, I'm so interested listening to you because I got long COVID last year. And yeah. It took me a very long time to accept I had long COVID because I'm a health expert and therefore I didn't have long COVID, you know, because duh. And it put me into perimenopause. And it completely fried everything. And so I went the year before, so 2021. I was 2020, 2019, 2018, CrossFit three times, four times, you know.
Wow.
Yoga, walking all the time, you know, boom, 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 boom. Really structured meditation, this. To last year, noodles, literally for muscles, like not muscles that worked. I put on weight around my stomach, like a real perimenopausal kind of stress fat and everything. And it literally, I have long conversations with the universe, and the universe said, tough, really, until you learn to slow the heck down, you're not coming out of this. You're not. It took me till September, October to clock that I was literally creating my own worst. And I'm listening to you, and I literally live like that. I've never done. My best friend's coming to stay in 3 weeks. She's like, could you try not to have more than three or four appointments a day on the weekend? I'm like, babe, I don't even work weekends. I literally start my day at 10. I have never done that.
Brilliant.
So I get up half an hour later, although the cat doesn't like it. But I would get up at 7, because I have kids, right? 7:30. Yeah. But they're all older. So now I get up at like 8, which feels like a holiday. And then I don't start work till 10. I don't book appointments till 11.
Brilliant.
And I just booked yoga today because my appointment this evening cancelled. So I booked yoga in the evening. And I absolutely, I've only been doing this now for 5-6 weeks. So I'm going to keep you posted. But it sounds exactly
keep going.
Like what you're saying. And so traveling, I've just came back from the US. And what I did is I would normally do a hit and run and come back. I was like, no, I went out 2 days before my conference, did 2 days after my conference, although I was like, why am I still here? And I was like, apparently your system needs it. Shut up. And
yes.
I changed how I operate. That's so interesting.
This is wonderful. This is just making me feel so good, because this is something I really want to stress to people, is that we actually have the answers within us. We're just too busy in our heads with our distractions and our day-to-day lives, go, 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 do, 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 that we're forgetting that inner voice. Our soul and our inner voice is constantly talking to us. We just need to stop and listen. And
or
I had COVID.
And get your butt kicked.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, we have to appreciate that our system is, I don't like the word, but it is sensitive, as in it's sensory sensitive. So things are so much more intense for us. So therefore, we actually require more downtime than 80% of the population. So since COVID, you know, I've stopped socializing so much. I'm enjoying my me time way more than I have ever. Like you, I don't like to do appointments before 10 o'clock, and I do a 4-day week in an ideal world. So normally my Wednesdays, so I might have a busy Monday, Tuesday, then Wednesday I kind of put the brakes on and I do things that I need to do. And then I hit the ground running, perhaps maybe the Thursday and the Friday. Then it's like, whew, the weekend I do me. I mean, I'm fortunate I'm single and I don't have children, so I don't have responsibilities. And this is something I'm just going to touch on, is I'm coming across a lot of women that are empaths and HSPs, and they're making the decision that I had to make of, hang on a minute, is it my work or is it family life? Because it's very hard for us to do both and still thrive, because there's sacrifices that are made.
But you also don't have choices. Like, I've been the breadwinner in my family, like, my entire adult life. So I don't have that choice. And I think there's many, many women that just don't have the choice. You just have to work and you have to bring up your kids.
Absolutely, absolutely. But I'm sort of talking about the women that don't have the kids, yeah, and they're going, shit, like me. It's like, oh my gosh, I'm in my late 30s. Oh, I thought I was going to have kids by now. Oh, I haven't. Does that mean I want them? But life's really hard for me. Like, it's really noisy. It's really busy. Like, I don't know if I can add kids onto the mix. And because of what I do, I'm so...
Definitely go with what matters to me most.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's a case of, is helping other people more important to me than sacrificing helping people and having children? I mean, obviously, I haven't met the right guy. I'm not in the right situation to have a child in that sense. But it's okay to decide, actually, sort of complicating your life more as an empath is okay if you want to keep things simple. That's basically what I'm trying to say. Like, it's okay to want a slower, calmer life.
And to choose you first. So, yeah.
Exactly.
That's a really good note to finish on. Choose you.
Yeah.
And I have to say, as a single parent for so long, I didn't know how to. I did not have the neural pathways built up.
Right.
And I had to teach them. Well, me and the universe had a little conversation. It kicked my ass all the way through of last year. And then eventually by the end of the last year, I was like, ah, got it. Thanks. But thank you so much for joining me. How can people get hold of you?
Yeah, I've got a website, which is alicia-may.com. So there's a contact form and they can contact me there directly. And I'm also on some social media platforms like LinkedIn and Instagram, AliciaHSP. And I've got a Facebook page as well.
Amazing. I'm so thrilled about that. And it's been a real pleasure to actually give me the space to have this conversation, Alicia. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been great chatting to you.
Oh, it's been great. This is Activate Yourself. My name is Geeta Sidhu Rob. I hope you enjoyed this conversation. I had the best time. I now have a phrase what's the word? I have a label, damn it, that I can use to go and throw at people when they want to throw a loud noise at me. I'll try that this weekend and come back and tell you all how that went. I hope you enjoyed this session. This entire episode, and I look forward to having you join me again. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for joining us. Our goal was to give you pause, make you think about your life, and inspire you to say, wow, what if I tried to do that? If they can do it, so can I. Did it work? Let us know by finding us on social media at Geeta Sidhu Rob or at Nosh Detox. We upload new shows every 2 weeks here. And if you start to miss us, check us out on YouTube.